Good morning. Today's scripture reading will be Revelation 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true."
Good morning. Warm welcome to all our visitors this morning. And Happy New Year. Normally when we preach from the pulpit, we preach in an expository manner. But I felt that we should do something a bit different. And this morning I wanted to just focus, as we embark into a new year, I wanted to have a sermon just of encouragement. And so I had this idea of the term new. You know, we just read how when Jesus sat on the throne in John's account of in the book of Revelation, he said, "How, behold, I make all things new." And so I wanted us to just this morning try and take away some encouragement of the idea of newness, the newness that we have or that we can have in Jesus Christ. You know, we love things that are new. You know, they're exciting. They're attractive. They keep our attention. They keep our appreciation when they're new. But eventually, with time, they lose their newness. They may get damaged. They lose their luster. They're not as colorful. And then we easily begin to look for something else that is new. Something else to have that appreciation again, to have that feeling of being attracted to something that is new. When it comes to being a Christian, we have a newness in Christ that never goes away. But yet, sometimes it can feel like it has. Sometimes it can feel like a bit mundane, or we forget just how new things are in Christ, day by day, day by day. And so as I was preparing this message for this idea, this focus of new, I did what every preacher may have done at one time when faced when preaching a New Year's Eve or New Year's sermon. I went through my concordance of the New Testament and looked for the word new. And I found that within the New Testament, there is a strong emphasis on old things being changed into something new. You know, the New Testament speaks a lot about newness. And there are four things that I wanted us to look at. Four things that as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, should always be new to us every day. Although it can feel like it gets a bit old, these are things that are new, that should be new every day in our lives. The four things that we're going to look at this morning, the first thing is a new covenant. We're going to look at the idea that we are, as a member of Christ, of God's family, as a follower of Jesus Christ, we are under a new covenant. The second thing that I want to look at from the New Testament is that it says that we are in fact a new creation. A follower of Christ is a new creation. It also says that we have been made a new man. Now there is a slight, though they are related, a new creation and a new man, there is a bit of a slight difference we're going to look at. And the last thing I want to look at as an encouragement for us is a new heaven and a new earth. The promise of a new heaven and a new earth that is to come. Jesus said, "Behold, I make all things new." And so we're going to look at just four of these things that Jesus has made new. Again, these are things that should never lose their appeal to us. It's not like a new car or a new dress, a new piece of clothing. These are things that are new day by day. First thing we want to be reminded of is that we are in the time of a new covenant. And we're going to spend most of our time this morning looking at this new covenant, because really everything else flows from it. The fact that we are a new creation, the fact that we are a new man, the fact that we have a promise to look forward to a new heaven and a new earth, all flows from the new covenant. Now, a covenant is basically an agreement. It could be considered a type of contract. Sometimes it's one way, sometimes it's two way. And with God, over time, from the very beginning, God has entered into covenants with mankind. Sometimes they were two-way when they're conditional covenants, and sometimes it was just one way, an unconditional covenant that God makes. You know, God entered into a covenant with Adam and Eve when he created them, when he gave them dominion over the animals and he placed them in the garden. But it was a conditional covenant in that they could eat fruit from any tree in the garden except for one, the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Once they broke that covenant, mankind was plunged into sin and then would face the consequences of that action. God then established an unconditional covenant with Noah when he told him to build an ark in order to save him and his family along with two of every creature for the flood. He then made another unconditional covenant with Noah after the waters receded, and he made a promise to Noah, in essence to mankind, but through Noah, that he would never do it again. And that was a covenant he made. He then made an unconditional covenant with Abraham. He made unconditional promises to Abraham that his descendants would be as numerous as the stars, that nations will come from him, that kings shall come from him, that God would give him a son, even though him and his wife were late in life, that God would give him a son, a true descendant of his own, that he would give him a land as far as he could see, a promise. These were all unconditional promises that God gave to Abraham, unconditional covenant. God then made a Mosaic covenant, but this one was conditional. This covenant he made with Israel was conditional. He said, "Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people. For all the earth is mine, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel." It was a conditional covenant. If they obeyed his voice, if they kept his commandments, then they would be a special treasure to him. But then came the promise of another covenant, a new covenant. Through the prophet Jeremiah, God gave this promise. He said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, where I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more. The promise of a new covenant was made, was given, an unconditional covenant. And when Jesus came and he instituted the Lord's Supper, it was an institution of this new covenant. He said, "For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." The new covenant established in Christ's blood made atonement for the sins of mankind. In Leviticus, it says, "For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul." Under that old Mosaic covenant, it was the blood of animals that was shed on the altar that would provide a temporal covering. But those sacrifices were insufficient. But when Christ came, shed his blood on the cross, the perfect lamb without blemish, it was a perfect sacrifice. That's the new covenant. This is something that does not fade away, that does not go away. It is new always. In the book of Hebrews, we're going to be starting a series in the book of Hebrews, and we're going to be looking a lot more into this idea of covenants and the old covenant and the new covenant and the insufficiency of the old and the sufficiency of the new. But in Hebrews, it says that how every priest stands ministering under the old covenant daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which could never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from that time waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. That's why it says that Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant. It was his blood, his offering, and it has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. In the letter, in his second letter to the Corinthians, Paul gives an interesting comparison between these two covenants, between the old covenant and the Mosaic law and the new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to pull out some points from this. If you have your Bibles, you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I want to pull out some points just to show again the contrast of the old and the new, why the new remains new every day. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 6 through 11. "Who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds much more in glory. For even what was made glorious had no glory in this respect, because of the glory that excels. For if what is passing away was glorious, what remains is much more glorious." Just some points I want to pull out in contrast between these two covenants. The new covenant is not written with pen. It's not written with letter, ink. It's not engraved on stones. but it is written by the Spirit himself. It is the Spirit of God that writes this new covenant. The new covenant, as we read from Jeremiah, God puts, by his Spirit, puts his law in our minds, writes it in our hearts. It is the work of the Spirit of God that does the work, and it's not up to man to fulfill laws and rules written on paper, written in stone. God's laws are written by the Spirit on man's heart. Another thing we see under the old covenant, it was a ministry of death, whereas the new covenant is a ministry of life. The old covenant discovered sin, showed sin, the wrath, the curse. But this new covenant, the gospel of Jesus Christ, reveals love, mercy, grace, God with us. The law of ministry, the ministry of the law was also condemnation. It condemned people, cursed people. But the gospel is a ministry of righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. The new covenant, therefore, eclipses, it says in this passage, how it eclipses the glory that was in the law. Like a light, like when you turn on a, when you have a lamp on, but when the sun comes up, how the sun overtakes that light of a lamp. So does the new covenant with the old. It says that the old covenant is passing away. It is of no more use, but the new covenant shall remain. It's always new. It's always fresh. And it remains glorious. When we take Jesus as our personal Savior, we enter into a new covenant that God has established with man. It's a glorious covenant built on grace and mercy and love. And it's an unconditional covenant full of promises. And it's a covenant that remains new. It needs to remain new every day for us in our life. It's not something that gets old and drawn out. It is something that is new day by day, day by day. So it's not something that gets old. This covenant that we are in, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is not something that loses its appeal. It remains something for us to be excited about, to be encouraged about day by day, not just for 2018, but in every day, every morning that we wake up, the new covenant that we find ourselves in, that relationship with Jesus Christ, is always new. Now, when the Spirit of God puts his law in our mind and when he writes it on our heart, something else happens to us. Something else becomes new. And the second thing we want to consider this morning is the fact that we are a new creation. When Jesus becomes, when he's your Savior, when he comes into your life, those who are saved aren't just found under a new covenant, but you are made into a new creation. Your sins just aren't forgiven, but you have been changed. You have been changed. Paul in 2 Corinthians further on in chapter 5, he says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. Just as the old covenant is passed away under the new, so is the old creation passed away. All things have become new. Through the prophet Ezekiel, God said, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. This is the same idea when Jesus talks about being born again. Both him and Peter make this illustration on how when we are made into a new creation, we have, in fact, have been born again. Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Peter says that we as Christians, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. It's also known as regeneration. That's what the Apostle Paul calls it. But when the kindness and the love of our God and Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. We're not under a covenant of laws and ordinances, but we're under a covenant where the Spirit of God indwells us and changes us, causes us to be born again into something new. We're a new creation. We've been regenerated. Old things have passed away. And again, this is something that is new every day. It's not something that gets old. It's not something that loses its color or loses its appeal or loses its attraction. The fact that we are a new creation is something to be excited about and to appreciate every day. It needs to be. It's often difficult to have that, though, to regard ourselves as something new and beautiful every day. You know, we live in the same fallen world as the old creature. We do the same things day by day. Go to work, go to school, play with our kids, whatever our routines are. It's the same routine as the old creature. We face stress, we face temptations, we face hardships, just as the old creature would. And so we can lose track of the fact that we are new, that we are something different, that we are something that is beautiful and fresh. Though we live in the same world and may do the same routine as the old creature, we have a new and improved perspective and understanding of the world, one that remains fresh, something to be excited about day by day, day by day. We know that there is a God who loves us. We know that there is a God who died for us, whose Spirit now indwells us and causes things to be new on a daily basis for us, who rescued us from eternal death, and now who guides, intervenes, protects us. That's exciting. That's encouraging, not just for the year to come, but for every day to come. And it's something that doesn't go away. It's something that doesn't get old. It doesn't become an old creature. It remains new. And in close connection with being a new creature, a new creation, the third thing that we want to look at this morning is the fact that we've been made a new man. A new man. It's very close to the fact of being a new creation, of course. But when we look at the verses that the New Testament talks about when it comes to being a new man, it has to do with our behavior. It has to do with how we live, how we conduct ourselves. You know, it says that the old man was dumb, was ignorant, and was at war with God. This letter to the Colossians, Paul says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these. Put these away: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds." Since you have put off the old man with his deeds. All part of those old things that have passed away. Old things that have passed away. In fact, earlier on in chapter 3 of Colossians, Paul says that we've in fact died. Our old self has died, and that life is hidden with Christ. And so he says to put off the old man, which has all of these terrible behaviors. And he says, put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge. See, there's that idea of no longer that old man who is dumb and ignorant of what is good and what is right and true and holy. But he says to put on the new man who has been renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him. This is the newness that we walk in every day, not in the old self. And Paul says in Romans, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is God's, again, God putting, writing his law into our minds by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Under his new covenant, the covenant that we live under, by his Spirit, God has put his law in our minds. A new man being renewed in our knowledge. We know what's right and wrong. We're no longer dumb. We're no longer ignorant to sin, to what's right and what's the will of God for us. We have that now. That's part of the new man. That's our daily walk. Our regeneration renews our knowledge according to the image of him who created us. It also says under the idea of a new man, as we continue in that small passage of Colossians chapter 3, it says that in this new man there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. As the new man, there are no divisions among us. Anything that would divide us, that would create strife, opposition, has been broken down because we are all in Christ. The new creation, the new man under the new covenant is all in Christ. And so he has abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, making peace. That old self, that old man, was once at war, at enmity with God, but no longer. We are now at peace. The Creator has brought peace with his creation. Changing into a new creation, being made into a new man, is something that God and God alone does. The time of New Year's, we tend to make a new resolutions, turn over a new leaf, get our act together. But the new life, the new creation, the new man is something that God, through his Spirit, does in us. And so we are told to put off, concerning the former conversations, the old man, which is corrupt. We're told to put that away and be renewed by this new Spirit that indwells in every Christian, the Spirit that's in our mind, that's been written on our hearts. And the final thing I'd like us to look at this morning, the newness in Christ, that we can be encouraged, that we can look forward to day by day, is the promise of the coming new heavens and a new earth. You know, we can enjoy glimpses of it here in our walk with Christ under the new covenant as a new creation, but we look forward in anticipation to the coming of this new heaven, this new earth, where God will bring his new covenant and his new creation to ultimate fulfillment, where God will reign with all his glory for everyone to witness and for all his people to share in that glory. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 to 14, he says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. This world, corrupted, decaying, sinful, will pass away. God will burn it up, but to replace it with new heavens, new earth, beautiful, glorious, something for us to be again, something new that is to come. The covenant is now, we are a new creation now, but these new heavens and new earths are still to come. Things to be extra encouraged and excited about. Now, when it comes to the new heavens and the new earth, and I have to admit, without going into any types of end-time theologies, which is not the point of the message, I don't really have much to say about the new heavens and new earth. I mean, I could try to assume and try to guess and take a stab at to what I think it may be like, but I haven't seen it. I haven't been there. But there is someone who has. Our scripture reading was from John's account of the new heaven and new earth that was shown to him. And he describes it to us. And so as we begin to close our message this morning, I want to read through John's description of the new world we have to look forward to. The new heavens, the new earth, the new city, the new Jerusalem. Now, I want you to feel free to close your eyes as I read through portions of Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Close your eyes, just try to picture, imagine this new city that we have to be excited for, that we wait with anticipation to come. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth for the first time. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he sat on the throne, said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the seven last plagues came to me and talked with me, saying, come, I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had great high wall with 12 gates and 12 angels at the gates and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 fountains, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like clear glass. The fountains of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second, sapphire, the third, chalcedony, the fourth, emerald, the fifth, sardonyx, the sixth, sardius, the seventh, chrysolite, the eighth, beryl, the ninth, topaz, the tenth, chrysoprase, the 11th, jacinth, and the 12th, amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there, and they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there, no need, no lamp, nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Now, doesn't that sound better than a new car or a new dress? Isn't that something to look forward to? Isn't that something to be encouraged about? You know, it all starts with God establishing the new covenant. Not one built on law and ceremony and on tradition, but one built on grace, mercy, and love. It's not based on what we do, but it's based on what God has done in us through his Spirit. It's not a covenant written in a book or on tablets, but one written in our hearts by the Spirit of God himself. When we enter this covenant, we are made into a new creation, a new man, not born of flesh, but born of the Spirit of God. And with all this comes the promise of that new heaven, that new earth, that new city with streets of gold. These reminders of the newness that we have in Christ are stuff that we have now. It's not something that fades away like an old, like a car, like a dress. It's not something that loses its appeal. It's not something that loses its luster. These are encouragements that we can take with us day by day. Though the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. They are new every morning. As soon as you drive your new car off the lot, it depreciates 10% and then another 10% within the first year. As soon as you wash and wear that fancy new dress for the first time, already it's lost. It begins to lose its luster. But with God, his mercies, his blessings are new every morning because he is continually active in our lives, day by day, day by day, day by day. So let us be encouraged, not just for 2018, but in every day, by the newness that we have in Christ Jesus. Father, may we be encouraged, not just in the year to come, but daily, of how the mercies and blessings are indeed new every morning, that how we, in this new covenant, as a new creation, as a new man, with the promise of a new heaven and earth to come. Father, that we may be mindful that these are things that do not fade away like a new car or a new piece of clothing, that they are indeed new every day, every day. Help us to be encouraged by these every day. In Jesus' name, amen.